Revelation chapter 3, I'm going to be reading verse 20. I'm not going to be paying a whole lot of attention to the context, even though I'll probably get in trouble for that. But just in case you're wondering, I preached a message on this very passage way back in 2018. You can look it up. And I paid a lot of attention to the context. So I'm going to let that count for that. I'm going to diverge a little bit from the context and just talk about Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20 as it is, what it is. It's an invitation. Now notice what he says here in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. This is an invitation. That we're not violating the context in any way. Christ makes many invitations in the New Testament. And by the way, if you've never studied the invitations that Jesus makes in the New Testament, that is a fantastic Bible study. I would be willing to go to your house and show you all the places where Jesus makes an invitation, and we'll study that. It might take an hour, but I'm telling you, it will be worth your time if you've never studied it. If you want a Bible study with me, just raise your hand. I'll do it. I will take you through all those invitations. It's worth it. And if you don't want to raise your hand right now, before we leave this building, before I'm not too busy for you, you come talk to me. I will be glad to go with that through all those invitations and give you a Bible study. That is what it's about. Jesus made invitations. He told us, you're welcome. He told us to come. How many times? Look at this invitation. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now, they asked me what I was going to title my message. Since I already preached this message about 8 years ago, and I already gave it that title, I changed the title to, Who Shut the Door? Who shut the door? He says, I'm standing at the door, and I'm knocking. And then he gives that invitation. I just want you to notice several things describing God through this invitation. Number one, his problem. Somebody shut the door. Number two, his location. He's not far away from you. He's just on the other side of the door. All right. Number three, his personality. Did you notice that Jesus is a gentleman? He's knocking. All right. Number four, his initiative. Why is Jesus knocking? Why aren't you knocking? Why is it always God seeking you? Why aren't you seeking God? And number five, his objective. And if there's any reason for you to open the door, if there's any reason, all the reasons that there are, this is the best reason to open the door because of what he wants from you. Lord, I ask you to bless this congregation this morning. Lord, I ask you to bless everyone here. If they don't know you, anyone here doesn't know you as a Savior, that you would make a change in their life today. You'd change. You can speak to the heart, and I ask you to do that. Bless us as we consider your word and think about you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. First, the problem. Somebody shut the door. I know that God can shut the door if he wants. There have been many times in history God has shut the door. And when he shuts the door, no man can open it. The Bible makes it clear, if he ever shuts the door on you, you're in trouble. God can shut the door, but I do not believe he has shut the door this morning on you. That means you shut the door. If there's a problem between you and God, you shut the door. Because God shut the door on Sodom and Gomorrah, and they didn't come back out of that. Yeah, God shut the door on the world of the flood, and they didn't come out of that. God has shut the door many times. He shut the door on Herod one day when he didn't give him the honor that God was due, and God shut the door on him, and he died. Almost immediately struck down, died several weeks later. Let me tell you something. God can shut the door on you. But you know what I've noticed? And that is today, a lot of people have shut the door on God. They've slammed the door in God's face. Now, if you do any kind of personal work where you go out and knock on doors, try to talk to people and try to, you know, tell them the gospel, I've done a lot of that. You know what it feels like to have the door shut in your face. You say, listen, I'd like to tell you a little bit about the Bible or a little bit about the gospel. Slam. Shut the door in your face. If you've ever felt that, you know they are not interested. And you know you feel disrespected. You feel like you didn't mean to do anything wrong. I don't know why they're upset. Who knows? And it doesn't matter. You don't have to take personal offense. I'm just letting you know it doesn't feel good to have the door shut in your face. But if it's God, God comes to you, He wants something to have something with you, and you shut the door on God, you say, well, how have I shut the door on God? How about your sin? How about you love your sin more than you love God? When I was in high school, I was working at a place, and there was a young man there was working there too, and I witnessed to him, I gave him a little bit of the gospel. And he said, you know, he really wanted it. He was interested. He came to church a couple of times. He was interested in the gospel. But you know what he said? He said, I like sleeping with my girlfriend, and I know I'd have to stop if I got saved. That's what he told me. So he refused and stopped coming to church and stopped being interested. Why? He loved his sin more than he loved God. You know what he did? He shut the door. He shut the door on God. He shut the door. Did you know you might have some sin in your life that's shutting the door on God? Maybe you like drinking too much, or maybe you like your friends too much, or maybe you're just a filthy mouth slob, and you just say, I am not interested in changing. You shut the door. You know something else that shuts the door? Is religion. Religion can shut the door on God. You don't know how many people have more respect for their religion than they have for the Bible. They've got more respect for their traditions than they have for God Himself. And that if Jesus Himself appeared and told them they were wrong, they wouldn't accept it then. One time I was preaching out on the streets in León, Guanajuato, and I preached against image. I preached on the Ten Commandments, and the second commandment is, thou shalt have no graven image, and you should not to bow down to it, whatever. And a lady came out to me and yelling at me, saying, that's not in my Bible. And I said, well, bring me your Bible. So she went inside and got the Guadalupana, a huge old Bible with all kinds of things in it, came up there and said, here, show me. And I opened it up to Exodus chapter 20, and I read it to her in her own Bible. You know what she said? Slammed the Bible shut and said, then I don't believe the Bible. Made a choice, didn't she? You know she shut the door on God. She didn't reject a gringo. She rejected God. She shut the door on God. Religion does that all the time. People are so devoted to their religion, they do not care. They don't care what the Bible says. They don't care what Jesus said. They don't care what any... They are not going to change. I had a man tell me one time, I'm going to die a Catholic because that's what my parents taught me. They don't care. They shut the door on God. Listen, I got news for you. You shut the door on God, there's nobody to blame but yourself. Jesus is on the outside knocking, and you can't hear Him. You don't know what's going on. Did you know another thing that shuts the door is busyness? You're so distracted, this world will shut the door on God. You get so busy, you just don't have time. How many times did I invite somebody to come to church and they said, I'm too busy?
Amen.
Sunday mornings was not a good time. Was not a good time to go to church. We had soccer league. Sunday mornings was soccer league. How many people decided not to go to church because of soccer league? I had a fella who had a miscellanea, a little store on the corner, and he could never shut it down. He could never close the doors. Because that was one of his best days. We had people that worked in the tianguises, the little open-air markets. And they could not shut down on Sundays. Why? Because if they didn't show up on a Sunday, somebody else got their spot. And then it was lost to them forever. So they couldn't come on Sundays. Oh, man, you know how you can shut the door on God? There's a lot of ways.
Amen.
Maybe you've shut the door on God. Maybe something in your life has, maybe you're not even sure what happened. Maybe you were raised believing in God, praying, and then something happened and you're not praying anymore. You're not going to church anymore. You're not interested in God anymore. You just are sort of dead to God, and God is dead to you, and it's just like there's a separation there. Somebody shut the door. Somebody shut the door on God, and now you're separated from Him, and there's not relationship there, and there's not love there. There's nothing there. You say, I don't know God. I don't know God. Where is God? How can I find Him? I don't know anything about Him. And why? Because you shut the door. That's His problem. Number two, His location. Did you know that God is not far from every one of us? That's what the Bible says. I know that some people feel a lot more comfortable if God's far away. I had a fellow, I invited him to church. I was working with him. I invited him to come to my church. He said, oh, if I stepped in foot in your church, I would burst into flames. Yeah. He said, I would burst into flames. And I don't think that's true because there's a bunch of sinners in this church. There's a bunch of sinners in here, and we haven't burst into flames. This place is made for sinners. This place is made for people who just do not have a lot to offer. Maybe that's why we're not a mega church. We don't have a lot to offer. We're just a bunch of sinners. Man, we're not rich. We're not noble. We're not educated. We're not nothing special. There's nothing special about us. We're just sinners saved by grace. God has mercy on us, and He loves us, and we're saved by grace. But some, I'm telling you, it's an amazing thing. God's not far away from you. You've tried to get as far away from God as you can.
Amen.
I've seen people, they avoid God like, I mean, you bring up God, they immediately run off. Amen. They do not want to talk.
Amen.
It's like we're preaching on the streets, and as soon as somebody's walking by and hears what we're talking about, they immediately cross on the other side and just shut their ears. They do not want to hear. Why? God's uncomfortable. They want God to be far away. In fact, some people have made churches so beautiful and nice, inside dingy and dark, even though got a lot of gold and everything, and maybe some stained glass windows, but they've got it all, and God's inside, and then they can leave God inside and live however they want. Because God's over there. But that ain't not the way God says. God says He's everywhere. God says He's where you are. Did you know the Bible says if you go to the top of the mountains, He's there. And if you go to the lowest depths of the sea, He's there. He says if you go up to heaven, He's there. And if you make your bed in hell, He's there. You know, we put men on the moon. And when they got there, God was already there. He ain't far away from you. You think He's a long way away, but no, He's close. He's near. You realize He's just on the other side of the door.
Amen.
Something's in the way, but He's not far. I want you to think about how close God is to you. We do not have a God that's afar off.
Amen.
We have a God that's close by. We have a God that is at hand. I know some people say, well, I can't see Him. Where is He? I don't see Him. There's a door in the way. You shut your mind. You fogged up your eye. You can't see. You can't tell where God is, but He's not far. And you have a little bit of faith. You could say, God is not far from me. He's not far from me. I can talk to Him. Maybe you'd prefer Him to be farther away.
Amen.
Because by the way, He's listening to you.
Amen.
He's watching you. He's paying attention to you. Whew. I don't know. Number three, His personality. God is a gentleman. You realize God will leave you alone if that's what you want. He will leave you alone. One of the funniest stories in the Bible. I love this story. It's a funny story. He fed the 5,000. He's across the lake. Fed the 5,000. He tells His disciples, get on a boat. Get on home. They get on the boat and they're rowing and the wind is contrary and they're not getting very far. Oh man, they're getting worn out. And there's a storm coming up and I mean the wind is blowing against them and they don't know what to do. And Jesus comes to them walking on the water in the storm.
Yeah.
And you know what it says? It says Jesus was passing them by. You know why? They didn't ask him to help. He left them alone. He's a gentleman. He's not going to interfere in your life. Now, he can. There are exceptions. He can. Let me just tell you about that exception. By the way, this is a good exception. If somebody's praying for you, God might interfere in your life.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, if somebody actually cares about you and they say, God, would you interfere in his life? He just might do it. He might kick that door down, and that's the best thing that could ever happen to you. But normally, he's a gentleman. He will let you have your agency. Everybody wants personal space. God will give you personal space. Did you know that God is, you say, well, how come I can't see God? Because God's going to give you some space. He's going to let you do your thing. He's going to let you live. He wants to see how you are when he's not around. But he's not far, and he's a gentleman. You realize he's not kicking down your door. He's just knocking. He's just knocking. He doesn't hate you. He's not angry at you, but he's not going to interfere in your life if you want him to leave you alone. And you know, that's some people's favorite statement. Leave me alone. Leave me alone. I don't know how many times I've tried to hand a gospel tract to somebody and they say, leave me alone. I've got my religion. Why don't you just leave me alone? Well, God will do that. God will leave you alone. He is a gentleman. He's polite. He wants you to keep your own agency. He wants you to make your own decisions. He's not manipulating you like some people manipulate little marionettes. He's not manipulating you with his words. He's not making statements to try to make you feel a certain way. He's just telling you the truth, but if you don't want to hear it, if you don't want God around, he'll leave you alone. I don't even want to shove anything down your throat. I'm not trying to make you believe what I believe and force you to do something you don't want to do. You don't want to do it, don't do it. I don't know how many times I've said it. If you don't want to come to church, don't come. You don't want to give your money, don't give. I'm not interested. I'm not trying to shove it down anybody's throat, and neither is God. But boy, God is knocking. God is knocking. God's personality is he's a gentleman. We could use a few more gentlemen in the world, you know, just to treat other people with some respect. And by the way, how gentlemanly are you with God?
Amen.
How do you treat God?
Amen.
Are you the kind of person that when you have trouble, you start criticizing God?
Amen.
You got some trouble and you start saying, why did you do this to me, God? Man, it's amazing to me. It's his personality. He's going to leave you alone unless you ask him to come in. Just open the door or he'll leave you alone. The most he'll do is knock. He'll get a preacher like me to say, hey, he's looking for you. Why don't you open the door? Why don't you open? Number four, his initiative. Now, why in the world? This goes against all logic and all reason. Why is it Jesus knocking? I mean, if you had everything going well, and I mean, you were on top of the world, you had health and wealth, and you thought you had need of nothing, like it says here in this passage. If that was your case, everything was wonderful and great, then I can see why you would think you don't need God and you'd never seek him. But that's not the case with a whole lot of you. Your life is a shambles. You're miserable. Your life is empty. And you're not seeking God.
Amen.
Why is God knocking? Why aren't you knocking? Why aren't you knocking down the door trying to find God? I don't understand somebody who says, I don't know. I just don't know God. Well, why aren't you looking for him?
Amen.
Somebody says, well, there's just not enough evidence that he exists. Oh, you moron. There's so much evidence that he exists, it's almost criminal for you to say that. It's just a lie. You just deceived yourself. God is in everything. God is everywhere. God can be seen in almost all of creation. It's not even hard. You have to be very biased against God in order to think that there's not enough evidence. There's enough evidence. Why aren't you looking for him? You say, well, you know, I'm just real busy. Oh, bless your heart. You're so busy you can't read your Bible and find God. You can't go to church and find God. You can't do what it takes to find God. You can't hold a conversation with somebody who knows the Bible so that you could say, now I know God. No, you can't do that. Why? You're too busy? Oh, man, how is this possible? Look at his initiative. You're not seeking him. So he comes seeking you. You know, Jesus one time said that the men of Sodom and Gomorrah and even the men of Nineveh would stand up in the judgment day and condemn this generation. You know what he said? He said, because I came and you didn't listen. If somebody else had gone to them, they would have listened. But I came and you didn't listen. I find this is an amazing thing. That people are not seeking God. But then when God sends somebody and they go knock on their door and say, come out and listen to the gospel. They say, I'm too busy. I got too much to do. There's housework to do. I got to fix my car. I got to do who knows what. Man. Why aren't we seeking God with all of our heart? But we don't. You know, the Bible says people do not seek God. God himself makes that complaint. He says, no one seeks me. He looks around. People are in dreadful circumstances and they don't seek God. Now, that's about the only time anybody will seek God. And that's when everything falls apart and they say, oh, God, help me. But it's not real. They're not really seeking God. They don't want to give God too much room in their life. They prefer having their own decisions, their own life, because God is very powerful and he's very strong and they don't want to give too much to him. But they will sometimes wake up enough to seek God if they have some trouble in their life. Why do you have to have trouble in your life to seek God? Why, if you have a full belly and your girlfriend still loves you, why in the world wouldn't you still seek God?
Amen.
But no. When your girlfriend dumps you and you're hungry, then you seek God. But you know what God's doing? You're all full, you're all happy, you're sassy, and you're not interested in God. God comes knocking. Why is God knocking? Because it's his initiative. He's trying to open the door. He's trying to wake you up. He's trying to have a relationship with you.
Thank you, Lord.
That brings me to number five. His objective. What does God want from you? According to this invitation, let me read it again. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Now, if God wanted your money, and there's a whole lot of preachers say God wants your money. Yeah, you've heard them. You ever hear them on TV? God wants your money. God wants your money. Give him your money. Got to give him through the preacher, of course. Send it to the preacher and the preacher will get it to God. You know, they've done a horrible damage to the gospel of God by making it a business and turning it into, we need money to keep on television. There's a real problem. There's a real problem. Why do people destroy the gospel by their hunger for money? But God didn't say, I want your money. You know, God didn't say he wants your service. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of reasons you ought to seek God. Number one, hellfire.
Amen.
Hellfire is a good reason for you to seek God. Judgment is coming. You know what hell is? Somebody says, I don't believe in hell. Too bad. You know what hell is? Hell is justice.
Yeah.
Justice is coming. Sinners are going to get what they deserve. He's going to mete out such perfect, appropriate justice. Everybody's going to say amen.
Amen.
That's how it should have been.
Amen.
Now, we go to the courts today, you won't see justice. You won't see justice. You'll see people who are relatively innocent go to prison. And you'll see people who are relatively guilty get off scot-free. Happens all the time. And somebody does you wrong, they're liable to get away with it. But someday hellfire is going to catch up to every one of them. Someday justice is going to be done. Someday it's going to be an absolute, perfect, precise judgment against sinners. And you will not be able to complain. You know when that rich man found himself in hell, woke up in hell, his eyes opened in hell, you know he did not say, "This is not fair." He wasn't much worse than you. In fact, he might have been a better person than you. But he did not wake up saying, "This is not fair." He knew it was fair. And when you go to hell, you'll know it's fair. You say, "Well, I don't think I deserve hell." Boy, you're going to find out. Someday your eyes are going to be open and you're going to see that this is what God promised you and that's exactly what you deserve. That's a good reason to seek God. That's a good reason to be clamoring at His door saying, "God, listen to me. God, have mercy on me. God, have some compassion on me." Hellfire is a good reason to seek God. You know another reason? The misery of sinfulness. People are living in misery. The Bible says the way of transgressors is hard. Man, is it hard. Man, I'm telling you, drunkenness is no way to live. I'm telling you, fornication is no way to live. Homosexuality is no way to live. Stealing from the government, that's no way to live. You can never steal enough. Did you notice that? You can never steal enough. You got to go back to it again. Living in sin, that is not a way to live. This is a horrible thing. If there's one thing that ought to wake you up, the misery of your life in sin, the misery of the drunkenness, the misery of the late nights at the bars, the misery of the vomiting in the next morning, the misery of all of this stuff, how that ought to say, "You know, I need God." Wasn't it Willie Cosby that was in jail and some drunk sits up in the bed and says, "You need to get saved." That's a good reason to seek God, because you find yourself in jail. You find yourself in disease. You're falling apart. Yeah, there's a good reason to seek God. There's another reason to seek God, and that's the emptiness in this world. This life is empty. I don't care how much you accomplish, you find out it's empty. It doesn't satisfy. There's nothing worthwhile. And you lose everything when you die. It's all empty. It's a waste. It's depressing. Man, you're not thinking wrong if you're depressed. You're thinking right. If you're without Jesus, if you're without God, let me tell you something. You ought to be depressed. There's nothing in life. Not if you don't have God. You have no purpose. You have no meaning. If you don't have God, you've got nothing to live for. Nothing. Just yourself. Just a little bit of pleasure. What are you, a hedonist? You just want to live in pleasure? That's all you want? Boy, is that empty. That's a good reason to seek God. I want some meaning in my life. I want to know what I'm supposed to be doing. I want to be useful. Amen. Man, it's a terrible thing to be useless. Yeah. I believe it was Clara Cal Coltrap used to say, "Of all the things I've lost, I miss my mind the most." It's terrible to be useless. It's terrible. Why do you want to live like that? No, there's a good reason to seek God, that He could put you to use, that He could have some value in you. Oh yeah, those are all good reasons to seek God. But this is the best reason, and that's that Jesus wants to sup with you. Yeah. Jesus wants to eat a lunch with you. Amen. He wants to sit down and have a conversation with you. Amen. How can you say no? Why would you not open the door if Jesus says, "Hey, can we get together and have some dinner? I want to have a conversation with you. Not only me with you, but you with me. Amen. Both of us together." Why would you not open the door? You realize what God's desire is? He wants a relationship with you. You think He's wanting your service? Oh man, get a life. You got nothing to offer.
Amen.
You got nothing. God doesn't need your service. He's got millions of angels. And boy, are they better than you.
Amen.
They can do everything better than you, except sit and eat with Him. Just sit and eat with Him. You know that's what Jesus wants? Jesus is saying, "You know what I want? I'm knocking at the door. There I am knocking." You know what He wants? He wants to come in and sit with you and eat supper with you. People up north don't know what that means. Supper. They don't get that. We in the South, we know what supper is. Jesus wants to sup with us. Man, I can't think. I can't. It's not that God wants service. It's not that God wants your time. It's not that God wants to take away all the fun in your life. God just wants to talk to you. God just wants to sit with you. That blows my mind. Does that not blow your mind? Why in the world would you keep the door closed? Why would you hold on to your sin? Why would you hold on to this empty world? Why would you hold on to your pride? Why would you hold on to your religion? If Jesus is saying, give that up, come with me, open the door to me, open your life to me, and I will sup with you.
Amen.
Don't do it. Do not keep that door closed. Open the door. Let Jesus in. Let him have your life. Amen. Lord, there may be somebody here that does not know you as a Savior.